We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Thanks for being here. It's Friday, a day of celebration as we wrap up another work week for those who still do those kinds of mundane things on such a mundane schedule. Andre Newington, thank you for holding, sir.
Oh, my pleasure, Todd. Thank you very much. I'm calling about the uptick in violence in Hartford.
Okay.
And how allegedly it's COVID-related. You know, I want to comment on that because it is somewhat COVID-related. They're releasing tons of felons out of jails or they're not holding them on bond, and these guys are going back into the street and committing crimes. Now, I could tell you that almost all the recent violent crimes that we've seen in Hartford or anywhere in Connecticut have all been related to someone that has been in jail or released early from jail or has been spent time in jail.
You're saying this is something you know to be a fact?
I have good information on it, correct, yes.
Okay. What else can you tell us?
Just that these guys are being released out of jail, and, you know, there are people in legislation that are pushing for felons to get back out on the street. I know the OPM in Connecticut is big on early release. He tweets about it every day. He's really big on not having any inmates in jail. Crimes happening every day. So it's just
I think you're right that this is where the Democrats are now, that they feel it's to their political advantage to be soft on crime. And their response to COVID has been to use it as a way to just let people out en masse. And it's an interesting theory, and I'm glad you come with some inside information on it. Thank you for that, Andre. Adam, East Hartford. Hi, Adam.
Todd, good afternoon, sir. The rain, it don't bother us because you got great talk on your talk radio.
Well, thank you, sir.
Hey, what I'm calling about, Trump, I mean, to save this presidency, Matt Drudge, about 4 years ago, he was on with another a national conservative talk show host, and he said he wished he'd cut out all that tweeting and kind of just carry out his agenda and stop complaining and, you know, fighting with people. Remember how Trump sets himself up, or I don't want to say cuts his own throat, but sets up his own booby traps? Like when at the debate, remember you had said that he should just let Biden, you know, shoot his mouth off. Instead, he gets in the fights with the host. Well, you know what it kind of reminded me of? If you ever saw that James Bond movie called Spectre, where Bond meets White, and White says to Spectre, or to Bond, "You're just like a kite, Mr. Bond, dancing in a hurricane." Trump, you know, you hate to say it, but he might be going down election-wise, right?
Dancing in a hurricane. That's a great phrase and a great image. Thank you, Adam. Oh, yeah. That is the urgent sound of the rant line coming in. We'll take more phone calls in a minute, but let's get some rants started. This guy, perhaps you will recognize this voice. Are you ready?
Hello, Ted. It's the president again. Just wanted to know if you watched the town hall last night. Last week, I defeated the invisible enemy, coronavirus. last night you saw the visible enemy. The visible enemy is NBC and Savannah Guthrie. And I call it Codcast. Not Comcast. NBC is run by Codcast. That's what I call it, Todd. Just so you know, I've heard that you're against me. You don't think I'm going to win. Well, you're a hack, Todd. You're a total hack. Just want to let you know that. I think your wife has been influencing you a little bit. Let me just say that. Also, by the way, I listened to that UConn senior you have on Road to Week. I thought it was Ben Shapiro. He sounds just like Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro, Todd. Tell him that for me. Tell him he's great. I love Ben Shapiro. And you have a great day, Todd. See you later. Bye.
Oh, I love that. I love being joined by the president.
Well, how about you riddle me this? Why is it not we're not able to have a debate in person because of COVID concerns, but we can have a town hall in person with no COVID concerns?
Whoa!
Just wondering.
That is incredible. No debate because of COVID, but town halls despite COVID. How do those things not contradict?
Yeah. Hi, Todd. My rant is about this stupid laptop, this fake Hunter Biden laptop. What a bunch of nonsense. Does this administration realize how stupid they look by saying this?
No, I just had to. That little explosion's overdue. 860-522-9842. Yes, we take live phone calls along with the rant line calls. Sean from New Britain. Hello, Sean.
Hello, how are you doing? I'm going to try to stay very focused, and then I'll listen. I'll hang up and listen.
Excellent.
Number one, I don't think anybody really wants to have people die with pre-existing conditions, diabetes and stuff like that. So I think that both parties can just take a hike. The gentleman you had on when the show first started?
Michael Harrison, yes, today.
He was phenomenal. I loved what he said as far as to really govern. Both parties need to just get into the business of governing. And one of the things I saw at the end of the Senate hearing for Barrett, who I think is phenomenal and is unbelievably bright, would like run circles around me, was a cordiality and the respect that they had for one another. And I was really encouraged by that, even though they had a totally different philosophy and totally different way they wanted things to go. They still were cordial and respectful, even when they strongly disagreed. And I really thought that was good. And that Senator Feinstein was catching crap because she just either said thank you or whatever and gave Lindsey Graham a slight hug, and now they want her replaced, is ludicrous, is absolutely ludicrous. Real quick, the debate forum, I thought it was amazing that no one even talked about the attack that Trump went at that got hit, and then Joe Biden really had a very leisurely interview. And lastly, regarding Nancy, the stimulus, Nancy Pelosi and the crew need to get off the behind, pass the stimulus to help these businesses, because you have the money. And the only reason, one of the reasons why I looked this up, that they didn't pass a new stimulus is because some states are sitting on their stimulus money and they haven't even spent the first stimulus money. And so the second stimulus money seems like it's not needed. And so you have actually an argument. Spend the money with the companies and let the businesses do their thing. Have a great day. Thank you.
Sean, you are all stored up with all those topics. Thank you for that. Bob and Basra, hi.
Yeah, hello there. So I wanted to mention something that I saw on the interview with Stephanopoulos and Biden.
Okay.
At one point, Biden was saying that Trump met with Putin six times, and he didn't say anything. I'd like to know how he could meet with Putin and not say anything six times. I dispute that he ever met with Putin six times. But, you know, the man is so demented, in my opinion, that he couldn't formulate. I think what he was getting at was that when he did meet with Putin, he did not allow interpreters to come. And I can guess why he may not have done it, because a lot of that goes back to phone conversations that he's had with world leaders. And they have that taping system with National Security Agency people, who are many of whom are Democrat operatives, immediately report yes. that as a security breach to Adam Schiff's House Intelligence Committee. So why would any president even want an interpreter or somebody
or,
taking notes?
Sure, or leak it directly to the media. Absolutely, Bob. Thank you for that observation. Good to hear from you. 860-522-9842. We'll take another rant line call, and we'll dive back into the phone calls, if that's all right with you.
Hey, Todd, Wayne from Meriden, former U.S. Marine Corps Vietnam combat vet, calling in regards to Blumenthal, the Vietnam wannabe, who made a statement a while back that he'd been a Vietnam veteran, and then when it was found out that he wasn't, he just used the same old phrase that politicians do, I misspoke. How can you misspeak about something like that? And he should be very disgusted about himself, and we should make sure that we vote him out, especially as veterans in Connecticut, lest we forget. Let's vote this clown out and that Murphy in the next election. They try to get away. They think they're entitled, and they try to get away with everything. Well, it's time to get rid of them now. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Nice to hear from you. 860-522-9842. Jim Weathersfield. Hello, James.
Hi, how are you?
Go ahead, sir.
Just a couple of quick comments. I'm not a person who, well, I used to be. I can tell you I used to be glued at this time of year to, you know, the major networks and all that was going on. Now, yes, I do.
What happened?
Huh? Well,
you've lost interest?
No. I'll tell you. I started to watch the Trump debate, the town hall, and all of a sudden I see two people. One works for NBC, and I see the president. And, I mean, between the two of them, but they're yelling at each other. I mean, I'm looking, going. I mean, it actually made me nervous. I mean, it got to a point where I said, you know what? I'd rather watch a movie. Later on, however, I watched Joe Biden as well. And then I get an email every day. I get the New York Post. And long story short, though, was basically what I read, that Stephanopoulos, I guess, kind of just pitched his little questions to Biden. And I don't know. It seems to me that, I mean, one of your calls, I think, talked about Trump in a hurricane or whatever. However he said it was awesome.
Yes.
If he kept his mouth shut more and let Biden just shoot himself in the foot, I think he'd be a lot better off. That's my own personal opinion. But I'll just cut to the chase. I wanted to comment about one last thing. I guess what I'm saying here is this. One town hall versus the other, it was like night and day. You know, it seemed to me that Sylvana, whatever her name is, just went on the attack. And then you flipped to the other one, to Biden's. And, you know, the New York Post did uncover some emails there for Biden's son, Hunter, that was never brought up. I thought that was...
That was a big story that the media did not allow to be a big story. Jim, thank you for the call. Good to hear from you. 860-522-9842.
Yes, good afternoon. Somebody should tell Nancy Pelosi, Dick Blumenthal, and Chris Murphy that you can't make chicken salad out of chicken manure. And that's what they got for brains.
Thank you for that.
Hey, Todd, it seems like the people who are opening these mail-in ballots are going to know how people voted. I thought it was all supposed to be private. What about that? Check it out. Thank you.
Yeah, very interesting point.
Hey, Todd. Hey, I wanted to run something by you about the rant line. The rant line's got a lot of buzz going around, a lot of popularity. Everybody loves it. What do you think about running the rant line from 6 to 7? Maybe do like a best of or something like that, or just solid rants for 1 hour. All right, let me know. I'll be listening later. Have a good day.
Not a bad idea. Maybe once a week we could do a best of or something like that. Hadn't thought of that kind of approach, but good thought. Thank you. 860-522-WTIC, Dave in Brantford. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Todd. I saw an article in today's New Haven Register on page A8 called Merrill Tong, Zero Tolerance for Voter Intimidation. They used the word intimidation 9 times in the story, and voter suppression. And I mention that because they're liberal, you know, dog whistle, bell words, intimidation and suppression. I did not see the word ballot harvesting or vote rigging. You know, Merrill is such a seditioner, and that Tong is such a barking chihuahua. I hate to keep saying it. They're so biased. Why does the state put up with this stuff?
Well, why does the media want to make itself the lapdog of a certain political perspective? This is the thing I don't get. I mean, local newspapers should want to be reporting the news.
I might give an example, and then I'll go. Merrill herself mentioned no MAGA hats will be allowed because it's voter intimidation, but no similar warning that a BLM sticker or a face mask that says "I can't breathe." Apparently, we don't consider that political or intimidating speech, and that's the bias that your radio station covers so well.
Thank you so much, Dave. Good to hear from you. Have a great weekend. And let's grab ourselves another rant.
Hey, it's Sunshine. I want everybody who can hear this to remember that every time you see Blumy and Murphy on TV, they voted against a bill called the SASS bill, S-A-S-S-E, 2 parts to the bill. If a baby survives an abortion, it becomes an automatic citizen and it gets medical insurance so they can take care of the baby until things get figured out, and they both voted against it. They are depraved, depraved people. That's it for now. Bye.
Hey, Blumenthal, elections have consequences. Here's your nickel.
That's a response to some a Blumy statement we were playing yesterday. Ryan calling from Canton. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, how are we doing today? I have a couple points that I'd like to make your observations. One is with the debates, it was very glaring to see Joe Biden get fed the softball questions and answer them. You know, he did a good job. He gave some good answers. That was nice. And then to see Trump, and he gets like a pit bull attacking him, and he was pretty calm and collected, and I think he also did a good job. But it shows the media's disposition towards both candidates. For everybody.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. I mean, there is a part of it where I think there's a little pressure on somebody like Savannah Guthrie to not get bowled over by Trump. So maybe she comes at him a little harder at the beginning, and maybe she's a little scared and has a little more adrenaline going. But still, you're right that they, you know, they're all kid gloves. What's that?
Or pressure from the media, which is predominantly left, to attack Trump because they didn't want this debate to even happen because they don't want the ratings to come in that show that Trump had 4 times the amount of viewership. And how come someone like myself, an average citizen, knows who is going to win this election, and I know that today, and no one else in the media has the same opinion or outlook on November.
Tell us quick, what do you know?
I know? It's obvious that Trump is going to win.
All right, I've got to hold you right there. Thank you, sir. I just wanted to get your prediction before we go to traffic. WTIC. Let's talk. Jeff in Bristol. Hey there.
Hey. So, I'd like to talk about the Hunter Biden story.
Yes, sir.
Has that come up yet? Okay. So, to start off with, I'm not a big fan of Joe Biden or Donald Trump. I don't really like almost anybody in politics. But And the reason I'm not crazy about Joe Biden is he obviously lied a couple years ago when he was asked about his son, and he said they never talked business. That's just not believable for a second. And obviously Hunter Biden cashed in on his father's name when he got that $1 million a year do-nothing job with Burisma. But there were two Senate Republican-led Senate investigations of that whole situation, and they found that no laws were broken. They were very thorough investigations. You can obviously conclude that what the two of them did was highly unethical. But that happens all the time in politics, where people cash in on somebody else's name. They use influence. I mean, lobbyists get tons and tons of, you know, jobs here and there. Money just, you know, changes hands all the time. So this is just politics as usual. And I find it very hypocritical of Republicans to be criticizing this when they ignore all of the same types of deals that Republicans do all the time. And
well, I think what they're looking for is for the rest of the world that points fingers at people like Trump and his family routinely to use the same level of scrutiny and turn the spotlight onto the Bidens. So I understand what you're saying, and I think it's true that everybody does this kind of thing, but let's let everybody pay the same price.
Well, what's that price?
Media coverage that harangues Republicans and Trump routinely and constantly and ignores what the Bidens do or the Clintons do or what have you.
Okay, but so specifically in this case, with the latest case with the laptop, what specifically has Hunter Biden done?
Well, we don't know until you flesh these things out. But there's no fleshing out.
Okay.
See, if you're not even allowed to, if you're not even allowed to tweet out the link to a story about what happens to the Bidens because it's blocked by Twitter, then you've got a conspiracy of silence delivered by the big corporations of the left and the mainstream media.
Okay, but one of the reasons it's been blocked by Twitter is because it hasn't been proven. And Trump is retweeting this story, alleging it to be fact, and that's just simply false.
Well, it's a story. Normally, news stories are the way we disseminate information. And nothing is ever proven to be fact unless it has a chance to be aired. The news media is our mechanism for airing it. Social media is how we spread those stories. You can't block things because they haven't been proven in the news. Nothing in the news is proven. It's reported so we can sort it out. Yeah, it's WTIC. It's Friday. It's rant line time.
Hi, Todd. I'm a little confused by your logic. You say, for instance, the media is basically corrupt and they're not fair to Trump and they don't tell the truth. But most of the polls are driven by the media, or a good deal of them. So how can you condone the final result of certain companies who crunch the numbers and then come up with a fantastically lopsided amount for Biden and very little for Trump? I don't understand this 15 or 20% chance he has when you're crunching corrupt numbers. So I just thought you might be able to explain that to me.
Sure. It's easy to explain. The premise of your question is where we would differ. I don't suggest that the polls come from the media. And I think your assumption that they do is incorrect. The polls come from pollsters. The media contracts with pollsters. But if you were tuned in a week ago yesterday, we had Dave Palaiologos on from Suffolk University. He directs their polling center there, their political research center. And Dave explained that while they may be hired by newspapers to do certain polls, their goal as a polling organization is to be as accurate as possible. They belong to associations that have strict requirements. The newspapers can't print a story using the data provided by the university when it creates the poll for them without them checking to make sure that it's being presented properly, so that there are no misrepresentations. They get rated by their associations and So you can look and see that some pollsters are well rated, better rated than others. So the polling agencies are very serious number crunchers and researchers. And the fact that they get hired by newspapers to produce polls doesn't mean that the fact that the newspapers are biased and slanted permeates the quality of their work. Those are two separate things. And, you know, anybody who follows politics looks at polls and learns from the polls. It's not that the polls are absolute truths. They're indicators of where things are going. They're great at showing trends. They're also good at, in general, giving you a picture of what's going on. That's my feeling about them. But I don't look at just one poll. I look at all the polls and get a feeling of what's going on. A lot of people say, oh, all those polls, they're all fake. Well, we'll see. You know, people are mad at me for saying that I think that from what I can see, the evidence suggests that Trump is in deep trouble in this election right now. And if the election were held today, which it is being held today in some part, that he would lose that election. And that could change. But I think the current trend is very bad for him. I'm very fearful for the future of the country as Joe Biden seeks to put us back in government expansion mode and to use the crisis with COVID and the other bad things going on right now. You know, they like to kidnap those things and catch a ride. They use the crisis to accomplish the goals that they wanted to accomplish anyway. 860-522-9842. Bishop John Selders joins us on Friday evenings. He is, of course, a regular here from Trinity College and also a co-founder of Moral Monday CT. John, how are you, sir?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
All right, good. We just have a minute before we go to a traffic break. What do you want to talk about today?
Well, I was just listening to your conversation about polls and the election, and I'm all turned up about the election right now. It's all things.
You're charged up? Is that what you said?
I'm charged. I am. I'm charged about the election. So we can have a little bit of a conversation about that.
Yeah. What are you feeling about it?
Well, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good that people are, it appears to be energized. Wherever your political persuasions are and whatever you, side of the aisle you come from, I think the issues, the circumstances we're now in with COVID-19 and such, and the economy, they are going to be real drivers for folk to the polls, I believe.
Well, yes, absolutely. No question about that. All right, hold on, John. We'll just get this traffic and weather in, and then we'll talk some more. Continuing with Bishop John Selders. So let's get into the nitty-gritty of the election a little bit. What do you want to see happen? What kind of change do you think can be accomplished here that would be good for the country?
Well, I think for sure elections have consequences, right? They do set in who we select for all of the, both the top of the ticket, but also down ballot, who we ultimately vote for. They actually determine the policies that we end up living with, the decisions that are made at the federal level or at the state level, and then all of the processes that happen at the local level are all dictated in large measure by the elections. So, again, regardless to whatever the side of the aisle and whatever the issues that float your boat, it is our way of showing we are citizens. And I guess what I am turned up about, or at least dismayed to hear, is when people decide I'm not going to vote because, you know, they are convinced that it doesn't matter.
Well, I don't think there's very many people who think that these days. We're going to have perhaps record turnout.
Well, I would hope that is the case. And I would also say it is a concern of mine here in the state of Connecticut, and particularly in our urban settings, where we've had, you know, we had record-setting participation in the election of both of the elections of President Obama, for example, here in Hartford, for example. And yet it was only, you know, it wasn't even 50% of the eligible voter your population. So I'm still concerned that voter apathy is a form of voter suppression and voter disenfranchisement, that I am at least doing my level best to make sure we do better this time.
Well, it's self-suppression, isn't it?
Well, right, in part. I would say the other piece of that is that the lack of information that is out there actually then serves to be what I'm calling voter suppression. The sure lack of information and where to access the proper information leaves it to anybody's whim as to what's right and what's wrong and how to do it. And so that's what I mean by when I say the kind of voter suppression that actually happens here in Connecticut.
What information is missing to urban voters?
So, for example, that you don't necessarily need a driver's license to prove residency. For example, that's not the truth. You do need to show in some way where you live and that you in fact live in the city or in the town that you're trying to vote. And in fact, even you could show up at the poll. And in fact, sign an affidavit. If in fact you were a voter, you were, and now you're inactive, you can show up at the polls, sign a document, an affidavit, in fact, and then go ahead and they'll give you a provisional ballot so that you can vote. So, that, for example, that simple act in conversations with folk, that was new information. Shared with
but that's from their own. There's no lack of availability of the information. All people have to do is go to a website and look it up.
That's provided they have access to a website.
Make a phone call or go by the city clerk's office or ask a friend who's active in politics. I mean, I have trouble imagining that a lack of information in this day and age, we've never had better, easier accessibility to unlimited amounts of information.
That is true. And yet we still do have people who, in fact, don't get the right information. What do you call that?
I call that not caring enough.
Yeah. Okay. And I call that a clarion call for some of us who understand that there is a population that we still need to reach, not to quit doing the work of making sure people hear this information. I know people who are largely informed, who are well engaged, who don't know what I've just said to you.
That you can go and vote.
That you can go and vote even if you've been inactive. That simple piece mm-hmm. of information. Yes.
Yeah. You know, personally, I think I understand your motivation. You're looking for people to be active so that more opinions get expressed. I guess there's more diversity of voter representation instead of the same fewer people. Expressing their views, because if you have half the population voting, you're only getting you're basically giving twice the vote to half as many people. And it's better if more people express their views. But people have to take their citizenship responsibilities seriously and learn these things.
And that is true. So that's why I'm challenging people to think of it in terms of how I express. Where are the places and spaces you actually can express being a citizen, right? Voting is one of those places. That's a very clear, concrete, unrefutable,
yes,
in our form of democracy, unrefutable. To show up as a voter means that I'm a citizen. I am a participant in a process. And I would say for African Americans and other people, persons of color and marginalized folk, where the sacrifice was so great to human life being taken expressly because people fought to have the right to vote, then we dishonor their memory and the blood, sweat, and tears that they afforded us so that we could have the right to do that.
All right. Well, let's tell everyone to look up John Selders, give him a call, and get all the information you need. You can
what you can do is go to moremondayct.org or find us on any social media platforms. And I certainly, if I don't have the information, I'll get it for you, or I'll find the resource and float it to you. That's for sure.
There you go. All right. Have a great weekend, Bishop Selders. Nice to talk with you once again.
Thank you very much, Todd.
All righty. Can we get Steve from Waterbury in real quick? What's on your mind, Steve? We've got about 30
real
seconds.
Real quick there, Todd. Four quick stories that happened in the news, or happened, but not much news coverage on two of them. Back when Clinton was running, Bill Clinton was running, China had actually donated money to him and meddled in his election big time trying to get him elected. And we had what happened with Trump with Russia. Brett Kavanaugh obviously had Ford accuse him, and that was an immediate big time now that Tara Reid is accusing Biden.
All right, Steve, I'm sorry. I've got to hold you right there.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.